Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the C3SYD podcast. My name is Amanda Ancliffe. With my husband, we're the executive pastors here at C3SYD. And it's my pleasure to bring you today's podcast episode. We're excited to continue having these helpful and relevant conversations that are going to help us enact our faith in our everyday world. In our last episode, Wisdom for a Polarized World, we chatted about the wisdom we need as believers, how to navigate the spectrum of worldviews that people hold about current issues around us. Today, we're going to explore this further and dive into a conversation to discuss the concept of loving our neighbor in the midst of crisis. I've got some special guests to help us explore this topic, so I'd love to introduce them. Pastor Richard Forsyth is here, and Richard is our pastoral manager across C3SYD. He also works 2 days a week as a business analyst in the retail industry. And one thing I love about Richard is his heart for people, to see them meet Jesus, grow in Jesus, find freedom in Jesus. So Richard, big warm welcome today.
Thank you very much, Amanda. Great privilege to be here.
Beautiful. And we also got the wonderful, bright and bubbly, vivacious Nick Gibb. Nick heads up our C3 Cares Community Outreach. Nick also works in the fitness industry and is a fantastic artist. Nick, we welcome you here today.
Thanks, Amanda. Like Richard said, absolute privilege to be here.
Beautiful. Well, today we're going to talk about the practical side of loving our neighbour, especially in times of crisis. Right now, Richard and Nick, we're in the midst of challenging and divisive times. And here in Sydney, we're experiencing another major lockdown. People are struggling, families are having to cope with homeschooling, businesses have had to close down, some households have lost income, and of course, mental health issues are rising. So Nick, let me begin to ask you, what does loving your neighbour as you love yourself mean to you, especially in this present time?
It's a great question, Amanda. I think, you know, loving your neighbour as you love yourself is, I think, just looking out for others that their basic needs are met. You know, I guess in this crisis, checking up if people have enough food, checking if they can pay their rent. That's a big one.
That is a big one.
Yeah, I think when you love yourself and you love someone as yourself, you're looking at those basic needs. You know, if I was loving myself, I'd be taking care of myself and those very basic needs, rent, food, and community. Do people have enough community around them? Do they have a friend? Do they have a family member? So just checking on those real basic needs. I think that's what God means when he says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. How you take care of yourself. How would you take care of your neighbour?
Rich, what about you? Loving others as you love yourself.
Yeah, and I think Nicholas said all the practical things, and I think one good great thing is encourage one another daily.
Love that.
Pastor Phil also said something the other day. He said our voice has got the Holy Spirit on us, and those words can actually spark somebody else's spirit and bring life to them. And, you know, we had a lady in our street, she lives 2 doors down, and she's a very lonely lady, she's a recluse, and every time I see her, she walks up the road with a little bag, you know, pulling her little trolley, and I offer a lift up to the shops or, you know, just ask how she's going, all those things that Nicola was talking about. And then one day during COVID, you know, lockdown, I just saw her taking a garbage bin out, and I just said, hey, how are you going? And we started the conversation. She said, actually, I started to read the Bible the other day. Wow. And she said, I read the book of Acts, and can you explain it? And so I explained something from the Bible. And then I explained the full gospel to her. And she was able to, she received Jesus into her life. And then Kate thought, let's do a high tea for her. So somebody who's a recluse, let's do a high tea for her. And so we brought her around, and Kate got all the nice, you know, cups and things out and baked some cakes. And then I just really wanted to make sure that she had understood what salvation was. And she said, yes, and your prayers, you know, Kate's and my prayers had worked. And so for somebody who is a recluse, just watching that spark in her and watch her come alive made me feel great. Because when you do love people, it's not only is it a blessing to them, but it's a blessing to yourself as well, Amanda.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah, it's that giving and sowing, isn't it, when you sow into someone else's life? I love this word encourage. It actually means to put, to impart courage into someone. Right. And so I think that's precious. Let's talk about isolation at the moment, because it's a very real need and fact, reality for people at this time. I mean, it's just weird talking behind masks. People are isolated in their homes. I actually heard Pastor Phil preach a message this week, and he used the three words connect, contact, and communicate. And I thought they're three very practical words that we can apply to our life with others. So, Nick, why don't we let me ask you, give me some practical stories on connecting, contacting, communicating to be able to reach out to others.
Oh, so it's three powerful words, isn't it? And I mean, we've got a couple of avenues available. I think, you know, obviously we've got our mobile phone. That is a powerful tool in our hand. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like each morning we talk about the word encourage, put courage in, or put faith in. You know, we've got the ability to sit on our phone, go through our contact list, or just ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, who would you like me to encourage today? If we imagine if we all encouraged three people a day and just sent them a text message, maybe a verse of scripture, and just saying, you know what, I'm thinking about you, hoping everything's okay. Let me know you're okay. And leaving it with a question so that they need to come back to you. So that's a really great sort of way to check up on if people are okay, is require an answer from them. You know, and I think we can all do that. It takes about 5 minutes to send three powerful messages to three people. And if you did it every day, I do it every day. It's just become a habit for me. I wake up when in my prayer time, I say, Lord, who do I need to encourage today?
Oh, I love hearing that, Nick, because you're including God in it, but it's also a lifestyle for you. You've made a commitment based on a conviction and you're doing it every day. You're reaching out. How about you, Richard?
I love going for a walk. Sometimes I pray at home, but more just during the lockdown, I've been going for walks because that's where the people are, and there's more people than ever before walking around the ovals, walking through the bush, and just I've got the g'day ministry. Just say g'day, g'day to everybody who moves. Years ago, when I was feeling sorry for myself. In my workplace and I just felt the Holy Spirit say, just lift up your eyes, just start saying hello to people. And that has just totally and utterly changed my life. Not only my life, but I say hello to everybody. And, you know, even just out yesterday morning and this morning, just we've got a lovely puppy and it's a Labrador and everybody loves it. They don't love me, but they love the dog. And, you know, yesterday I got to chat to a few people and there was one lady and just asked her how she was going and asked her what she was studying and just managed to share my testimony with her. And she just goes, wow, that is just incredible, because most people haven't heard about how good God is. And, you know, all the stuff the devil does, they're blaming God. And I just told her out my testimony and, you know, just this morning, there's a guy in the park who runs the park where I go, and you know, he's got a sore back. And there's another minister and I were doing a prayer walk one morning during COVID, and we just stopped and chatted to him and prayed with him. And I met up with him again as I was walking this morning, and it's just getting to know all these people.
I do a regular bike ride around Narrabeen Lake, and just a couple of weeks ago, I ran into a gentleman who'd fallen off his bike. Well, he had blood everywhere, and I stopped, and he was with a mate. They would have been in their late 60s, and his mate was saying, oh, he's all right, he'll get up. And I'm thinking, no, he's not all right. I need to actually help and take a bit of charge in this situation. But the first thing I did was I just stopped myself and I just prayed for him, and it just brought the peace of God. And then I, you know, about for about an hour. We just did a bit of first aid on him and waited for the shock to to wait. So it was just taking that moment. Nick, I know I was having a chat to you during the week. You were talking about how you had a great conversation with some people because of the rainbow in the sky. Let's hear that story.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, I want to segue into what you just said. That's incredible because that's like a real Good Samaritan story, what you just said. You know, you looked after that guy that came off the bike. And it's funny because I think, you know, when you learn CPR, if you've ever done a CPR course, there's three things that they teach you. And this is actually what I do. I'm with you, Rich. It's all the action is on the walking tracks right now and near the beaches and near the parks and the dog parks. And CPR teaches you these three things: look, listen, and feel. Look, listen, and feel. That's and right. Then you can make decisions. That's awesome. And so I think, you know, when Jesus says, open your eyes, he's really serious about that. We can be, you know, you can go on a power walk and not see anybody. Or you can go on a walk with the Holy Spirit, on tour with the Holy Spirit, I like to say, and ask the Lord who needs to be encouraged or what do you want me to see today, God? And the other day I went down to Mona Vale Beach. It was just a beautiful day. I looked up into the sky and there was this rainbow on the edge of a cloud. It wasn't like a normal rainbow. It was literally on the circumference of a cloud. I was so blown away by it. You could only see it with your sunnies on. And I had to, who can I tell? Nobody's seeing this except for me. And so I went up. I literally approached a couple sitting on the bench. They were sitting on the park bench. And I said, can you see that? And as I pointed it out to them, they were just as blown away as me. And she said to me, oh, it's my husband's birthday today. And I said, well, there you go. That's a present from God, isn't it? And they just said, do you know what? I actually believe that. We've believed God our whole lives. And that's just blessed us. Thank you so much for interrupting us and coming up and pointing that out to us.
That's delightful, Nick.
Yeah, I showed about five different people this beautiful rainbow cloud and ended up having full-on conversations with all of them about God's glory and about how God is with us in this crisis. He is, even though we're in this lockdown, God is with us. He has a plan and he will look after us because he loves us so much. They all agree. Beautiful. Yeah.
Brilliant.
I've found in the midst of these times that there's two words that have risen in me, being innovative with ways of reaching out but also initiating. And I'll give you a few examples of things I've done. Just 2 weeks ago, I felt to reach out to Pat's, my husband's mum, who's in her 80s, and I just picked some flowers and I popped them on her front door. Last year when we were in lockdown, my eldest child lives in Melbourne and I posted them some love packs. About every month I would send some fun things down. This lockdown, my cleaner hasn't been able to come and clean because that's a restriction, but I felt the Holy Spirit say, just pay her anyway.
Wow.
So that's something that I've done. Another acute thing I've done is I've sent people Uber Eats vouchers. So if I've wanted to send a present, that's something you can do by email. You mentioned before, Nick, about the Good Samaritan. I want to just explore that story a little bit. Let's just start with the story itself and then we'll talk about the application of it. Richard, what do you love about the Good Samaritan story?
I think just he went beyond racial, religious and cultural separation and just loved the person no matter what.
Great. And Nick, let me hear from you. Sorry, Rich, I didn't read.
I love the fact that he took personal responsibility and he was moved with empathy. And even though all the others, I think they saw him and they thought, that is in the too hard basket to go and help that man. They were either fearful of the man himself or they were just fearful of the situation. And I think what I love about the Good Samaritan is his empathy took over and he actually put his own resource, own time, everything into it.
Yeah, that's what I particularly love. I mean, just for those who might not know the story, there was a man who was on a journey, was traveling, and he was beaten up by robbers and left for dead. And so he was physically and mentally pretty traumatized. But this good Samaritan stopped to help him, whereas a couple of others just bypassed him. And I love what Nick said, that he actually pulled out of his backpack. So he would have been traveling too with a bit of a backpack, and he pulled out of his backpack his olive oil and his wine, and he used that on the wounds. And then he had a bit of money that he paid the innkeeper to look after him. So let's just have a chat around that. How do we use what we've got in our hand to help others? Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I guess some people will be in a position, Amanda, to, you know, physically help somebody with money, maybe with a food hamper, maybe with something practical like that. Others of us listening might not be in a financial situation to help others, but I think knowing resources around us that we can tap into is very valuable. So I know at C3 Cares Community Support right now, there's food hampers available. If you can't put together a food hamper yourself, or your connect group can't, you're not in a financial situation to do that, then tap into who can. But don't leave the situation unmet. But just if you can't do it, find out someone who can. And so, yeah, I just think there's always a way to practically bless somebody. You know, like I said before, make sure people's have a roof over their head, that the basic things, you know, they've got food.
Basic needs.
And also that encouragement, like Pastor Rich talks about, is, you know, are they feeling, because they can have all those things, but they can be, you know, bankrupt on the inside. So
it's so true.
Yeah, but yeah. Our
actions.
Yeah, our words of encouragement can, you know, fill their love tank.
So it's actions, it's words, it's prayers, it's leading them to Christ. Richard, some stories. Richard's always got stories for us.
Yeah, so one day I was in the city. I actually didn't have a job at the time, and I saw a guy in Hyde Park, and he just looked lost. So I think the thing we've got to do is just look at people's faces. And I've been looking at people's faces when we're doing Zoom meetings as well. But going back to the first story, you know, and I felt like the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit just guided me to this person. It looked a bit strange, but I deliberately walked around, then bumped into him and said, "Hey, mate, do you need any help?" And he said, "Yeah, I need a hospital. I've just come from Griffith or somewhere on a train, and I'm supposed to go to St. Vincent's Hospital." And I said, "Listen, I don't know where it is, but my car's at the side of the park. I'll drive you there." And I got to share the gospel with him on the way, and dropped him off at St. Vincent's Hospital. And I just asked the Holy Spirit, "What do I do next?" And over the road on Oxford Street was a shop exactly the same as a shop that I used to work in Canberra. And I went over there to that shop, and the manager walked down the stairs as soon as I walked in, and he said, "Can I help you?" And I asked him a few questions, and he said, "How do you know so much about this?" And said, "Oh, I managed a shop down in Canberra." And he said, "Would you like a job?" So that's how I got my first job in retail in Sydney, was because I helped somebody and it opened up a door. And I know, talking to Nicola, because her and I talk to each other a lot and we get excited. And if you want to have some excitement in your life and you want answers, come by doing the will of God. And
it's so good.
I can tell so many stories. But I just think looking at people's faces, I work in retail, and I look at people's faces in the screen, I'll flick through the screens, and I saw one person the other day just downcast. And so I rang them up as soon as we got off, and I said, "Hey, you okay?" And they said, "No, actually, I'm not okay." And I said, "Have you thought about, you know, taking your life?" And sometimes we've got to ask those questions. And the person said yes. And so I said, "Well, stay where you are." And I asked her what sort of coffee she had, and I went and bought a coffee, because I thought that would give her some hope. Hey, someone cares for me. Got a coffee and drove around to her house. And, you know, I took her for a walk, because I got a whole lot of practical ideas on how to help people get, you know, healthy during COVID, which is like going for a walk, setting up the room so sunlight, just helped with all that. Then, you know, it might have been an hour and a half later, I explained the gospel to her and she prayed the salvation prayer. But it's, by the way, I've known this lady for a long time and so has Kate. And but just looking at people's face and just seeing, wow, they're hurting. And the Holy Spirit will point those people out to you. And as you do it, the blessing of God just opens up for you as well. It's not why you do it, but it's the end result.
Nick, I know you're particularly passionate about engaging and stirring believers at this time, that we're actually on a mission, that God has given us a calling to be the light of the world, to live good lives, do good deeds. Just share with us your heart for this season and really what we're called to do, what is our Christian responsibility.
Oh, thanks, Amanda. I do. I am so passionate about reaching out to others. I think, you know, the light, we are the light of the world, and there's no point having a light in a light room. And so, you know, the light needs to go into the darkness to be fully effective. And I think the darkness that and the fear and the anxiety and all this stuff that's around us right now, this is an absolute golden opportunity for the church to rise up and be that light of the world that Jesus calls us. You know, he calls us the light of the world. He is the light of the world. But if he's in us, we're that light. And I think, you know, when you're spending time in prayer and you're spending time with Jesus, you can only get excited and joyful and passionate about what he's excited and passionate about. And that's people. You know, and we are surrounded with people right now, like Richard said, reading people's faces that look, listen and feel in the CPR that I was talking about. You know, I believe that this is our golden hour, that the church is called right now to reach out. Like, even if you can just dumb it down to one person at a time, one Christian reaching out to one person, and that is the way we're going to reach the world, one-on-one. One at a time, looking at somebody downcast, you know. I was on a walk the other day and I ran into my son's ex-boss, and he is a sole trader. He's a tradie. He had just been told he tools down, and he looked so worried and so full of anxiety. He knows I'm a Christian, and something I say to people too, that this is what I would say to someone I know that is not a Christian, I'd say, well, you know, I've got great connections and I look up into the sky and I say, you know, I've got divine connections. Would you like me to pray for you? And he said, oh yeah, I need every prayer I can get. And I said, okay, I'm going to pray for you right here, right now. And he was with his girlfriend. And I said, Father in heaven, I know that you love this man. I won't mention his name, but I just pray right now that you would show him an innovative idea that would get him out of this crisis. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're a genius and that you have the answers that he needs. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know what? I prayed with my eyes open. I wasn't weird or spooky about it, but it was the prayer was filled with desire to get that man an answer. And I think that he felt that. And he just walked away so grateful. And I said, you know what? I believe God's with you. And so
I love that, Liz.
Yeah, it's just bringing God into the conversation somehow without, you know, it doesn't have to be a big deal. It just says, I'm going to pray to God for you. It's such a simple thing to say, but people will really be touched by that. But honestly, the harvest is ripe, and that's when Jesus said, open your eyes and you will see that the harvest is ripe before us. We are surrounded by people and we are surrounded by opportunity. This is actually exciting times, very exciting. This is the hour of the harvest, you know. Honestly, it's our time to rise, and it's just, what can you do today to encourage one person?
Beautiful. I love that, the one. Well, what I'm hearing here is that when we use our words and our actions, it actually builds a bridge to people. It opens their heart. I know the book of Proverbs says, he who wins a soul is wise. And I think by doing these acts of love, we actually build that relationship with people, and that builds trust to be to then be able to share and have the conversations about Jesus, or to be able to pray for someone. So it's so powerful. I want to just go back to the Good Samaritan story for a moment. And it, you know, this is a story of someone going through a crisis. Now, we're all obviously experiencing COVID lockdown, but I want to talk a little bit broader. People experience crises of accidents, or go through divorce, or mental health issues, or health issues like cancer. And sometimes we can feel a little bit helpless as to know how to help someone. And so let's just have a chat around that. How do you help? It could be a family member, it could be a friend, it could be a stranger. But what sort of conversations and practical things can you do to help someone in the midst of quite a deep crisis in their life? Richard?
So we've got a gentleman in our streets and gone through just a very tough time mentally and losing his job. And so one of the things I did was just go and mow his lawns because he couldn't actually, he couldn't physically do it. And then that has just caused a great bond between us. And he, because of his physical thing, he can't play with his kids, but I go and kick a soccer ball with his kids and have connected with his son. And that's just been really, really great. Guys going through divorce, I've just met up with them. Even when we couldn't sit down in a cafe, I would just walk with them and just talk through things through with them. And now that gentleman's actually in church. And, you know, it's interesting when you talk about the Good Samaritan. I bumped into this guy actually caused me, you know, a lot of problems, but I bumped into him in Bunnings. And we both had masks on, and I sort of looked at him, and I said, I'll meet you outside in 5 minutes. And by that time, my memories of all the bad things that he'd done had calmed down. Met outside, and he apologized to me, and I prayed with him, and now we're quite good friends. And but just like the Good Samaritan, just breaking down those barriers. If you've got barriers between people, just forgive them. Let's get over family barriers. You know, whatever hurts we've had, this is the gospel, is actually forgiveness. And then that opens up doors. And this gentleman's been coming to church. I saw him on church online on the weekend, and you know, he sent me a thing in the chat. And so it's very exciting.
It's great, Richard. Nick, what about you, helping people in the midst of quite, you know, crisis in their life?
Yeah, I agree. Practical love opens hearts. And, you know, my very next door neighbour, she lost her dog. Her dog died. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, that's like losing a child to someone. I know she's recently been through a divorce as well. She's had so she lost her husband, then she lost her dog. And I kind of just put myself in the other person's shoes for a minute, and I go, oh, that must hurt. And so I just put together a little hamper for her. Some chockies and, you know, some food items, some luxury food items. Just, it wasn't a lot, but it was, I just took it over to her and said, I just, you know, I'm feeling for you, and, you know, I'm sorry about your loss. She was so grateful. We've become friends because of that. And she smiles. She, you know, we always say hi now, but it just broke down lots of barriers. Because when I first saw her, I thought, oh, she was very standoffish. But that's because she was in pain. And, you know, sometimes people in pain can be a pain, you know, or people in pain have big walls up. And so we can actually misread it as, oh, that they're not a very open person. In fact, they're absolutely craving connection and communication, but they just don't know how to go about it and ask. They've got the walls up. So, yeah, I think just being very practical like that, and a gesture goes a long way.
That's great, Nick. I'm just thinking through a few principles I've learnt over the time with helping friends in crisis, is that you probably can't push in to a higher level than your relationship already is at. And so it's just looking at, well, where is that relationship level at the moment? And let me just continue that. So if it was based on going to the gym together, just keep going to the gym together. If it's on a very deep heart level, then you can go to that heart level. But it's hard to go to the heart level if you've just been the gym buddy. Another thing I've learned is just actually ask someone, how can I help you at this time? I had a girlfriend going through a divorce, and I actually didn't know how to help her. So I said, how can I help you? And she gave me some really specific things and ways to help. And it was, let's just go for a walk together and have the conversations. So a very simple tool to use. How can I help? How can I support you? I want to be your friend during this time. Richard, let me just ask you, I've seen you and I've heard your stories because you work out in the business world, that you take this not just to your neighbours and to the people you meet whilst walking your dog, but you take it very much into your corporate world, that you reach out to those that you, your work colleagues. Give us some practical tips on how you do that and do it well.
Okay, I think the greatest thing is, just like I said before, lift up your eyes, be friendly. Even when you're on Zoom, lift up your eyes, send words of encouragement in the chat, and when you see somebody who's looking down, like sometimes I've just gone and bought people a cup of coffee and put it on their desk, and
everyone loves a coffee.
Everyone, well, yeah. And this lady just broke down in tears. And she said to me, I've always been abused by men. You're kind. And she's broke down and cried because I gave her a cup of coffee. And to cut a long story short, she came to church and she, you know, gave her life to Jesus. And then I was giving her a Bible. I said, can I really ask you, why did you come? And she said, because you gave me a cup of coffee. And so a $3 coffee goes a long way. And just asking, are you okay? Making people smile, taking people down, you know, maybe a walk at lunchtime, all those sorts of things really help, Amanda.
It's great. Well, let's just land this with some really practical, further practical. If someone you know is going through a very difficult time, or you yourself might be going through a difficult time, we need to know who to ring, who to call, where to reach out to. So, Richard, because you're our pastoral manager, I will direct this question to you again. Just talk us through who are our best resources in the community and in our church.
Listen, if someone's in a desperate situation, which I had to deal with a situation like that today, call 000, call the police. If someone is suicidal and they're thinking and they've taken overdosed, they'll need an ambulance because they need to go to hospital or they need an ambulance. Don't call a policeman for that situation. Call an ambulance if they've overdosed or there's an accident. The police will advise you any way you can. So if you forget everything I say, just dial 000. Lifeline, 13114, 13114, and they can talk people through it. If it's not a life or death situation, you know, give them the link to church, get people onto some of our meetings, you know, and people's lives will be transformed. You know, I came to church hungover, unemployed, in a lot of pain, but I came to church and I found healing and I found community in church. So if somebody's not in church, get them online to church, and that's just awesome. They'll hear the word of God.
That's great. I think sometimes you can feel helpless when others need help. And totally. I think part of it is knowing you don't have to have all the answers. And exactly. So knowing where to find those answers is super helpful.
Yeah.
Nick, let's just hear your final thoughts and heart and words on this whole topic.
I think let's not miss it. Let's not miss this opportunity for these incredible harvest moments. When people are looking, you know, I think that people are being brought to a destination of desperation, and that's not a bad thing, because that's how somebody will actually open their heart to maybe look up to God or look out for God. And so if we're there at the right time, at the right place, on tour with the Holy Spirit, use every day as an opportunity to say, God, send me on divine appointments. You know, I treat every interruption. I treat every interruption as a divine appointment, or somebody I see out on my walk, I know that's not an accident. It's a divine appointment. And if we know that our Father's watching us, like, I don't have fear of talking to people about Jesus. I have, because I know my Father's watching me and He's with me. I have more fear of God than I have of man. So it's kind of like, if God brought me this opportunity, you know, let me not waste it. Let me be a great representative right now. And so I just think, as Christians, come on, let's go the bold. Let's get out of our comfort zone. You know, we're right out of our comfort zone anyway. So there's nothing to lose. This is the church's final hour, you know, to rise up. God's got a plan for this great harvest. And, you know, he's not going to cause problems, but he's going to use this situation to bring people to their knees. And I think if we're there with encouraging words, with prayers, with an answer to bring people into a spiritual answer, not just a physical answer, like the woman at the well, he talked about a physical need, but also that spiritual, eternal life is God's end goal. Let it be our end goal. And so, yeah, I compel us all to have our eyes open. It's amazing what you can see when you've got your eyes open. And just those three things: look, listen, and feel. Look, listen, and feel. And let that empathy, let your heart do the work. Let it be by grace, not by works. But let the Holy Spirit just bring that empathy into your heart, and then, like the Good Samaritan, have you take into action.
Well, Nick and Richard, it's been a delight to have this conversation with you today. I love your heart. I love that you live this. And I hope everyone that has been listening today has been encouraged, but not just encouraged, to be stirred, to be prompted, to be prodded, to go out and to look, listen, and feel. I love that. The CPR, we need to practice that CPR. So once again, Richard and Nick, thank you so much for who you are and for sharing your wisdom today.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much, Amanda.
And with our C3SYD podcast, there will be more coming, and we would love you to follow us on Instagram at c3.syd, and that's how we'll keep you posted. God bless you. Have a good day.